Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for all the blessings you give us, Lord. Thank you for the freedom to study your word. And thank you that your word is always truth, Lord. Your promises are always held, and that you always give us what we need, your will. Thank you for everything you do, and bless Jim in this class. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, we've got the three people here today that was here this morning. And so you're going to have to get a rerun a little bit. Just a little bit of a rerun. We've got to talk about St. Patrick for a minute, okay? Now, you guys already know all of this. And so you can go to sleep for a few minutes and take a nap. Anyway, we're going to tell you the true story about St. Patrick. First of all, St. Patrick was raised in a Baptist church. His father was a deacon. His father was Deacon Calpurnius in Britain. And it was a small Baptist church. And, of course, Baptist churches always taught the Bible. Okay, always, all through history, Baptists have taught the Bible. Okay, that's been the thing. Well, he was kidnapped when he was 16 years old, out working in the field, and along with him, others. For 6 years, he was a slave in Ireland, and Patrick was born somewhere between 377 and 387 A.D., and he lived from up to maybe 493 A.D., okay? He may have been over 100 years old when he died. His name was Sukkot Patricus. Sukkot Patricus was his original name. And he was sold to a petty chief, a small chief, a sub-chief in Ireland, because they were run by kind of like, today, Ireland was something like the Arab world, okay? They had chiefs and little princes and stuff. And he was used as a slave by this petty chief. But he was saved before he became a slave and was captured by these Irish pirates. When he was about 21 years old, he escaped, and he got back to England. He went back to his church where he was, and he had a great calling of God, he believed, to go back and to preach to these people in Ireland, because he said those are absolute druids and heathens and pagans. And he said, I can't think of a better place where God would want me to go than to go back over there and to start preaching to these people. And preaching the Bible to them. The Bible. Well, at this period of time, the Catholic Church had begun to evolve into the Catholic Church. It was already the church and state by Constantine the Great. And they were trying to get control of every minister and every state in every country. When Patrick went back to Ireland, the Catholic Church sent emissaries and threats and letters to him over and over and over again, telling him to cease and desist from preaching. He had no authority to preach. And he just simply told them, jump in a creek. He established 365 churches in his life in Ireland. 365 churches. And he baptized, they say, over 100,000 people. Now, let's look at some of the traditions of St. Patrick for just a moment. One of them was the shamrock. The shamrock. What's the shamrock look like? Stephen, what's a shamrock? You know what a shamrock is?
Yeah.
What is it? What is the shamrock? You see them in every bar and every...
Four little leaves on a stem.
Three leaves on a piece of clover is what it is. Clover. Yeah. Over there, it's wild. They brought clover in America, and it became a pest, a noxious weed over here from Ireland. Well, it's a three-leaf clover. What way do you think that that Patrick, we're not going to call him St. Patrick because he probably spun in his grave. He didn't turn over in his grave when the Catholics canonized him, but he went, probably spun real good, not turn over. We won't call him St. Patrick. But anyway, what do you think he did using the three-leaf clover? He taught the Trinity. All right, he taught the Trinity with the three-leaf clover, and here comes one of those girls with green on right now. Right there. Anyway, he taught, and that's how we got the legend of the shamrock. And then fire. What they call St. Patrick's fire. St. Patrick's fire. And these pagan princes and everything, this pagan king of Ireland, and of course he was a druid, and he was a pagan. And every year they would shut all the fires off in Ireland, and they did this among American Indians too, especially in the Chickasaws. They would put out all the hard fires and everything else, and they would start all over again. They would drink this potion which made them to vomit and cleanse their body and diarrhea. It would clean out everything from last year, and they start a brand new fire, and they fire everybody's hearth and the whole Chickasaw village by this one fire, this sacred fire. Lakota had a fire carrier that carried the sacred fire from village to village. Well, in Europe, they did a lot like this, too. So the king would go up, and he would start a new fire up on a mountaintop every year. And Patrick went up there before he did, and he started his fire. And then he challenged the king to put it out. Now, this is just legend, okay, whether this is true or not. This is the St. Patrick's fire, okay? Well, he went up there and he put his fire and he started his fire up on the mountaintop and he challenged the king to go up there and put his fire out. If he could put out his fire, then he could start his fire, but he couldn't put out St. Patrick's fire. Okay? Well, that's how the fire business got started. Now the snakes. What was the sacred reptile of the Irish people? The druids. There weren't any snakes in Ireland, probably, but what was the sacred reptile of Ireland? The snakes. Well, when it talks about St. Patrick chasing all the snakes out of Ireland, what he actually did was chase out paganism out of Ireland, which was represented by the snakes. There probably were never any snakes in Ireland, but this is for the deal of the snakes. And then the blackbird. Now, the Catholics have this tradition is that Patrick went on his Lent, which was baloney. They didn't have Lent back then. That was winter much later. But on his Lent, he went up on this mountain, this sacred mountain, and he was up there, and he was attacked by these demons, which looked like blackbirds. And then he took a bell that he had made, a sacred bell. This sounds just like a legend, doesn't it? He took this sacred bell, and he would ring this bell and chase the blackbirds off. And when he got through doing this, he said, God the Father told him that all of those in Ireland that had been had become Christians and Christianized would make it through the pearly grates and the beatific vision. They would all hold out faithful to the end. Now this was the legend of the blackbirds and Patrick. Now let's look at what Patrick practiced. There are some letters that Patrick wrote back then that have come down to us today. First of all, he believed in believer's baptism. What does believer's baptism? Who practiced believer's baptism, by the way? Baptists practiced believer's baptism. Now, we know that that he established 365 churches in Ireland in his lifetime, that he baptized by his own hands, and that means immersed over 100,000 people, and that he only would baptize people that believed believer's baptism. Okay? So what would that make him if you practice that today? A Baptist. All right? He did not believe in transubstantiation. It hadn't been believed yet anyway. I mean, the Catholic Church didn't even practice it yet. He established elders and deacons in every church. Deacons were elders and pastors in every church. And every church was totally independent. And they had association meetings. And he established seminaries in Ireland where preachers could be trained. And they had any trained Christian teachers. And they taught the Bible. They taught the Bible. Now the Catholic Church has St. Patrick establishing the first monasteries and the first diocese in Ireland, which was not true at all. First of all, celibacy was invented in what age, or in what period of time? When was celibacy invented by the Catholic Church? What year did they invent celibacy? Remember what year it was? 1123 A.D. Since he lived between 377 and 493, had even celibacy even been thought of besides the pagan world? No. It came out of the pagan world where it came from anyway. It didn't come out of the Word of God. Alright? So he didn't establish monasteries. What he established was seminaries, not monasteries, which were Bible schools. He ordained pastors by the authority of the church in England that sent him out as a missionary. And each one of them was an independent. They answered to no one. And that's one thing that the Catholic Church was having wall-eyed conniption fits over, is because he was going and establishing these independent Baptist churches. Even in Catholic Church history, if they write about St. Patrick, they say Patrick was a primitive Christian, not like Catholics today. What were all primitive Christians in 300 A.D.? Baptism. Okay. In the church government, the polity of the church, he believed in local visible churches with local visible pastors and local visible deacons. And the people, he believed in congregational rulers. He had established more than 3,000 elders and pastors in Ireland during his time. All right. So that's the story about Patrick, called St. Patrick by the Catholic Church.
Why did he do that?
Well, he was so famous in Ireland that they thought they'd just tap onto him because he was such a great man. And they had so many legends about him. And Catholics, they major on new revelations and they major on miracles, don't they? Whether they happen or not. And, of course, all of this has fell right into what them said. So what are we going to make? We're going to canonize Patrick. All right, go back to the book of Genesis now. Back to the book of Genesis. We got St. Patrick today out of the way. Sharon, I've missed you very much. It's good to have you back, too. 45 and verse 22 is where we are. Genesis 45 and verse 22. How do you say Genesis in Hebrew? Bereshit. What does it mean?
In
beginnings. Bereshit means in beginnings. What would tell you it means in beginnings? What is the prefix to Genesis, Bereshit? Beth. 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 Or Beth, which means in. It's a preposition. I think it's on page 88 if I remember right. Remember that, right? In, and then what is the root of Bereshit? What is the root of Bereshit? The root of it. Rosh, which means what? Head. Alright. In beginnings, plural. Alright, in beginnings. In beginnings, created. Perfect tense means what? A finished product. It was perfect tense. The earth was created. In one of the beginnings, the earth was finished and created. What does Elohim mean? Elohim. What does that mean? Elohim.
It's God plural.
Huh? Creator God. The Creator God. It comes from El.
And the plural.
All right, which is we're talking about the triune God, like the clover leaf or the shamrock that Patrick was used to teach the Trinity. That's probably the only legend that is true. And all the St. Patrick legend. All right. Likulam. Natan. Laish. Halifoth. Semalot. Yule Benyamin. Natan. Shilash. Meot. Keset. Uishamesh. Halifoth. Semaloth. All right. And to all of them, he had given. Look at that word Natan. What did the Apache call Crook, General George Crook? What was the Apache name for General George Crook? Natan Lupan. Natan Lupan, which meant the gray wolf. The gray wolf. All right. Natan here in Hebrew, though, means he had given. It's perfect tense. He had given. Perfect tense. To each one, literally, where's the two there, Brother Roger?
I'm sorry.
Where's the two there? Laish, where is the two? Where's the preposition in that word?
Lamet
on the front of it, that means two. That is the preposition on the front. All right? That's the two, and then we have Aish. Aish. What is Aish? What is Aish? Man. To each man, literally. It says in most translation, to each one, but actually it says to each man. To each man. The changes. Ha-lifoth. Ha-lifoth. The changes of clothing, of wrappers. Remember back then, their clothing were wrappers. And some people in some cultures in the world, their clothing today is wrappers. Still, the East Indians, they're clothed, the ladies, or especially the ladies, are clothed in wrappers, aren't they? Wrappers. Well, all these people were clothed in wrappers. Dakota, you got your wrappers on tonight? Got your wrappers on, yeah. Sharon, you got your wrappers on? All right. Pam, you got your wrappers on? All right. And you've got plenty of wrappers on, young lady, Chris?
Not
enough. Not enough. Not enough wrappers. Okay. All right. The wrappers. Okay. And to Benjamin. And why, how, what do we have there? It is a conjunction and. What is it? Where is the conjunction and? You. Yeah, or va. All right. That's the conjunction. And then we have a preposition in here. And what is that? The lameth. All right. And then Benjamin. Benjamin. What does Benjamin mean? Ben means what? Son? Son of the right hand. All right? And to Benjamin, son of the right hand, he gave Natan, like Natan Lupan. All right? And he had given Shilosh, 3, Meoth, 100. Kasef, what does Kasef mean? Literal, it means silver or money. Silver or money. Silver or money. Silver has always been precious. And gold has always been precious. For one thing, it doesn't rust. It won't rust away. You make something out of silver, and even electrically, it makes good contact. Silver and gold make real good contacts. And 5. We shamesh. And 5. The changes of clothing. Now look and see what he gave to him. He gave Benjamin 300 changes of clothing. I mean, 300 pieces of silver. 300 pieces of silver. How much did they sell Joseph for? 30 pieces of silver? What was the price of the slave? Basic 30 pieces of silver. He gave him 10 times the price of the slave. He wanted to show them how rich he was. This means something right there. He gave Benjamin 10 times the price of a slave. He gave him enough money to buy every one of his brothers as slaves. All the other 10. He gave him enough money to buy every one of them. He said, when he did this, he said, I can buy and sell every one of you.
So that was the meaning of this? That was the meaning of it?
Oh, yes. Yeah, there was. God doesn't do anything in the Bible that doesn't mean something. And he inspired Joseph here to do all these things. So he gave him 300 pieces of silver, which represented 10 slaves. And he considered Benjamin not a slave, but he showed him that he had enough money to buy and sell every one of them as slaves. That he was in power, that he was a great man. And this is the man that they said, we will not bow down to you, didn't they? when he had this dream.
There was no possibility in Ray.
We didn't have, by the way, gold and silver pretty much are standards. Inflation. The inflation that has hit America in the last 10 years have come from one source. What has destroyed the American economy in the last 10 years? I can tell you in one word. O-I-L. When oil, when gasoline prices go up, everything else follows. They'll rip you off because we have a monopoly again. We have another monopoly, just like we had in 1890. All right? And it destroys the American economy. The only way which Nixon tried to do, and he was a Republican, by the way, he set prices, and guess what the rats did to him? They got rid of him. That was all Puttupish that got rid of Nixon. But what was he trying to do? He was trying to control inflation. All right. The only way you can control inflation is to control what prices are and have a gold and silver standard. In the we live under the John Maynard Keynes system of economics today. Who knows what that is? John Maynard Keynes system of economics. Oh, you can watch this on the History Channel too. Someday they will have this, maybe. I don't know. About 35, 40 years ago, I told one of my students, she was a Chinese from China. She had come from Vietnam. Her family went from China to Vietnam. She came here. And she was studying economics, and I was teaching political science and economics at that time. And she said, Jim, she said, what should I write my paper on? She was taking political science at Bakersfield College. And I said, write it on the Keynes system and economics. And John Maynard Keynes says, only pagans and Stone Age people live under the gold standard. You want to live under standard that a Federal Reserve System, a reserve system, will set the price of money. They are in complete control of what a dollar is worth. When you have a gold standard, there you have got gold and silver.
Well, Nixon took us off the gold standard. What was the point
for
him doing that?
No, Nixon didn't drop the gold standard. That was Franklin Roosevelt.
Well, see, but he...
after the... John Kennedy was going to hold on to the silver standard, and he was put down. That's when we quit the silver standard, was in John Kennedy. All right? Just go back and study history now, people. I mean, history doesn't lie, unless you've got people writing history that are propagandists. All right, let's go a little further. Silver was a standard. Silver was a standard. When Jesus, in Jesus' time, how much was a slave worth when Jesus was sold? How much was he sold for? 30 pieces of silver. So that was a silver standard. Went all the way from Abraham's time and Jacob's time all the way to Jesus' time. Okay? It didn't change. All right? And he said, let me get back over here. Each one changes the clothing, and Benjamin, he gave 300 pieces of silver, which was 10 times. In other words, he could buy and sell every one of his brothers. And he gave them changes of clothing. 45:23 now. Yuli Avi, Shalak, Kezah, Azara, Asara, I should say, Hamarim, Nosim, Metur, Metuv, I'll get it right. Metuv, Metuv. See that base on the end? That's a soft base. Mitzrayim, we insert Atana, No Sioth, Bar, we Lekem, Yumazon, Li Avi, La Darek. And to his father. Now look at this word. Let's see how it breaks down. What tells you that's a conjunction on the front of that word? the wow, which is the U sound here. Alright. Where is the preposition? The lamet. Alright. By the way, if you want to look up the wow there, that's on page 253. See it's written down there, the conjunction? And then the lamet is on page 515. Alright. And then the ba and the ben, or the avi, that is, the avi is on page 3 in Brown, Driver, and Briggs lexicon. That's how you break these words down. Kazoth, like this. And the front of that word there, it comes from the word Cain. Cain. And Cain is, you can look that one up on, or Cain. That one's on page 473. Do you see that? Do you see the root down there right below that? T, or Cain. Kazoth. Zoth is like a demonstrative pronoun. Page 260, the this. And then we have Asarah, which is 10. That's a numeral. Page 796. And then, now we have male donkeys. Male donkeys. Hamarim. Hamarim. Dakota, what's that donkey in the cartoons? What's his name? Eeyore. Isn't it? Eeyore? Alright. If you look at it, this is kind of like in the root of that word right there. Eeyore. Hamarim. And then Nosiim. And then we have here, we have bearing ones, masculine plural, cal participle, bearing ones. From good things, mituv, from good things. What is the root of that word right there? Mem, on the front of that is the preposition, and then what is the root of it? Tov, tov. All right, tov is good, good. What would it be in Greek? Two words in Greek. Kalos. Kalos is good. And akathos. Kalos and akathos are the two words in Greek. All right. Am I getting too deep in grammar for you guys? I don't need to overwhelm you, but I wanted to show you how these words are made up, okay? Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim. Dakota, what's Mitzrayim mean? Mitzrayim. What does it mean? Which translated in, we get our word from the Greek, which is Egyptos, which is Egypt. But what does Mitzrayim mean? Land of red mud and canal banks. When all the rest of the world was starving to death in drought, what was the only land that had irrigation? The land of red mud and canal banks. They were irrigated lands. From the Nile, which was a pretty stable source, but all the rest of the place that depended upon rain, dry land farming, forget it. There wasn't any rain. We Esther and 10 female Jeanettes. Jeanettes. Jeanette. Jeanette. I had an aunt one time named Jeanette. And a Jeanette is a female donkey. Jeanette, a female donkey. A Jack is a male donkey. A Jeanette is a female donkey. Or a Jenny. We have the old southern term Jenny comes from Jeanette. And the name Jenny comes from that also. Jenny.
Isn't that what you call a car with a Jenny?
Well, sometimes they call them the Rusty Jenny or the, what something. I can't remember. Bearing. All right. These Jennies were bearing. Feminine plural, cal participle. Alright, feminine plural, cal participle. And the other ones up there, this masculine plural, cal participle, that means these jacks were fertile. They were fertile jacks. They were breeding jacks. Jacks that could have babies. And now we have females that can have babies. By the way, back in this period of time, after Moses gave the law, what was the prohibition in raising animals, animal husbandry? You could not neuter a male animal or a female animal. They had to be left where they could breed. You could not neuter them. All right? Bearing ones, bearing females. And then it says grain, bar, grain, and we lehem. We there on the front of that is the conjunction. And then lehem is what?
Bread.
Bread. Bethlehem means what? House of bread. And food, umazol. And this word here is eats. Eats. Whatever you can eat. Eats. What kind, what did you have today, Brother Abe? Did you have any kimchi today?
Yeah.
You had kimchi today. I knew you had kimchi today. All right. That's like sauerkraut, you know. Except it's got a lot of hot peppers in it, doesn't it? Okay. Kimchi, and what else? What else do you have today? Do you have any flour? Have any bread? Donuts? Came from flour? Did you eat a cookie today?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Did you have any meat today?
No.
No meat today. All right. And what did you have today, Sharon?
Well, at Sunday school, I had strawberries, cheese, and brownies. And
okay.
Home, and had leftover egg rolls.
Egg rolls. Okay. Now, all of this is eats. All of this is eats. Brother Mike and Sharon, I know that Sharon had something really neat cooked.
I had a ham and grilled cheese sandwich.
All right. This is all eats. All under this one, this is eats. All eats is underneath. Everything is under this umazon. Anything that's edible, all right? And then Li Avi, for his father. And then it says la direk. Do you see that double R there in the dalet? So you got two dalets there, la direk. So it sounds good. That's for euphony. The preposition on the front of that is a lamet. All right, page 505, 15. And then the word trip. The word direk. Direk means what?
Road.
What is it in Greek? Hodos. Hodos in Greek. We get our word exhodos. Exhodos. What does exhodos or exodus mean? It's out of Greek. It comes from ek. Look up there at that sign. It says ekit. That sign up there means out of it. Exodus means the way out or the road out. Exodus. It comes from Greek, ek. The Latin comes from Greek, ek. All right? Exodus, the way out. The road or the highway. 45 and verse 24. Washalak. Et. Icha. Wayeliku. Wayomer. Alehem. Al. Ter. Yezu. Baderek. All right. Now let's look at this. And he kept on sending away. Third person masculine singular, PL. Look at that PL stem. PL stem means what, Chris? You remember? PL. That's with great intensity. With great intensity and force. He kept on sending them out with force. See that while consecutive and perfect right there. And the conjunction on the front of that is the while. And that's on page 253. And the word shalak there, that's the root of this word. See that one? That's on page 1018 in Brown, Driver, and Biggs, and 1511 in Kohler and Bumgardner. His brothers. What's that et there? What is that et? Et. That's a sign of direct object only. How do you translate it? You don't. It's just there, and you know that the next word is the object. In Greek, it would be in the accusative. The next word, it would have an ace there, and the next one would be an accusative, in the accusative tense. And in Greek, there's nominative, genitive, optative, locative, instrumental, dative, accusative, and vocative. Eight cases. And this would be in the accusative in Greek. And they kept on going. And they kept on walking. That's the word halak. And they kept on walking. Third person, masculine, plural, cow, wow, consecutive, and perfect. Halak, page 229 in Brown, Driver, and Brief, and page 246 in Kohler and Baumgartner. Do you see what those numbers are meaning there now? Wayomer, third person, masculine, singular, cow, wow, consecutive, and perfect. And he kept on saying unto them, Alehem. He kept on saying unto them, lo, or all, that is, all, Not, part of adverb of negation. Not ye shall quarrel among yourselves. He knew them, didn't he? When they, as soon as they were going to get out of his sight, they were going to start arguing. And he knew they were going to do this. He knew that. He remembered them from when he was a youth. Don't you quarrel in the journey. And let's look at this. Va-direct. What tells you that is during the journey or in the journey? What tells you? The bait. Yeah, the bait. On the front of that preposition. Page 88. You can look that one up also. In the journey or in the road or in the hodos. Say hodos. All right. Dodrek and hodos. Hodos in Greek. Dodrek in Hebrew. 45:25. Do you like a little Hebrew crossover? And Greek into the Hebrew into the Greek?
Jim?
Yes.
Would it be okay for you to draw like a Bob with a Dalit in it? Because when you said that, I don't know if anybody knows what you're talking about.
Which one?
Just to show an example of a Dalit.
That's a dot. You mean a...
Like that.
Yeah, okay.
That little dot.
Yeah.
That's solid.
Yeah. The little dot. All right, 45:25. Wayalu. Mim Mitzrayim. Wayavo. Eretz. Kanan. El. Yaakov. Avihem. Now let's look at this one. And they kept on going up. They kept on going up. Third person, masculine, plural, kal, wow, consecutive, and perfect. Kal, stem, wow, consecutive, and perfect. By the way, in the old Hebrew grammars, the old German Hebrew grammars, it's not kal, stem. It's not like this. But it's like this. Is calcium. And when I learned it in the seminary, it was calcium, not calcium. Same thing. Both of them are the same thing. Did you know that?
No.
All right. Some of the old Hebrew grammars, you're going to see that. I'm trying to get all this down on paper because I think maybe when I die, it's going to be gone. So I'm going to try to get it down so you will know these little bitty nonsensical things. All right. Mem Mitzrayim. See, we got three M's in there, don't we? All right. A little doggish in the middle. Doggish forte and doggish lady. All right. That either doubles it or intensifies it. One or the other. Mem on the front of that means what? That's a preposition and it means away from. Mem. And it comes from man. All right. And Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim means a land of red mud and canals. And what is the Greek word for that? Egyptos. What is the English word for it? Egypt. Comes right out of Greek, doesn't it? All right. And came in, kept on coming in. Third person masculine plural, cow, wow, consecutive, and perfect. And on the front of that, that's the wow. Why? Yovo. Eretz. Eretz means what? The dry land, basically. Eretz. And then Canaan. What does Canaan mean? Canaan. What does Canaan mean? Possession. This word Canaan comes from Cain. Noah had a grandson named Canaan, didn't he? Or Cain? Canaan. All right. Adam had a son named Cain, which means possession. In Genesis 4 and 1, in Genesis 4 and verse 1, Eve says, I have gotten a man, even et Jehovah. She thought she had gotten Jehovah. She thought the Messiah was born right there, at that moment. She thought the Messiah was born. She thought she had gotten the Messiah. The word Canaan means possession. Now, we know Canaan would go down there, Noah's grandson Canaan, he would go down there into the land of Canaan and they would become a bunch of pagans down there and terrible people, and that God was going to give that land as a possession to the sons of Jacob. And Noah prophesied that long before it ever happened. L, when here is a preposition, page 39, unto Jacob. What does Jacob mean? Jacob. Yaakov. What's it mean, Brother Mike?
The grasp
or the follow the heel. Thank you. You got A plus tonight, brother. Their father, Abraham. Abraham there is father in the possessive case. The father of them. In the possessive case in Greek is the genitive case. All right. I entitled this next verse, A Cold Heart. A Cold Heart. Hank Williams, Sr., wrote a song, Cold, Cold Heart, one time. Cold, Cold Heart. Cold, Cold Heart. Let's look at 45 and verse 26. Why Yah Giddu? Actually, the Giddu there would be like a soft Delos, wouldn't it? Because it's not didded. Alright? Why Yah Giddu? Lo? Lemor. All right, see that roll that R on the end of that resh. Lemor. Od. Yosef. Hai. Actually, it's Chai. Wiki. Hu. Moshel. Bikal. Eret. Mitzrayim. Y Yafod. Livo. Ki. Lo, Hemin, Lehem. That's the end of that one. And they kept on telling words. They kept on telling words. Look at that word. What's the root of this? Huh? They kept on telling words. Why Yah Giddu? They kept, see that word? Giddu. See that one? Neged. See down at the bottom up there? They kept on telling words to him, saying, that's infinitive constructs in cal stem. That comes from Amar. Page 55. In Brown Driver Bright 65 and Kohler and Baumgartner. Odes, still, or continuing, or going around, continuing like a circle. They kept on doing this. They just kept on doing this. Joseph, he alive. Cha, cha. That word cha there means alive. It means living one. He's a living one. He's not a dead one. He's a living one. And because. Look at that word, wiki. Remember we looked at word key before? That's on page 473, and we is a conjunction. We key, it means, and because, is what it literally means there, if you want to translate that out. And because he, this is like a third person pronoun there, page 214, that word you. One ruling, masculine singular, cal participle, that Moshel. Moshe Dayan, remember Moshe Dayan? Moshe Dayan, what does Moshe Dayan mean? Ruling one. Moshe. Ruling one, and it also means Moshe also can mean what? To draw out. Moshe is Moses. Moses. Alright? The ruling one. Be called in all, Beth, is the preposition, call is all. In all the Eretz, all the land of the red mud and canals. The irrigated land. Mitzrayim is the irrigated land. The land that is irrigated. And grew cold and numb. Third person masculine, cow, wow, conceptive, get even perfect. And kept on growing cold. His heart, levo. What is the Greek word for heart? We get it in medicine.
Cardia.
All right. You have a cardiac arrest, a cardiac arrhythmia, a cardia this, and cardia that. All right. Procardia medicine. All kinds of cardia. It is Lavo here in Hebrew. He, because, lo, not, he did, or not he had believed. All right? Literally, not he had believed. It is third person masculine singular, hetheo, perfect. Not he had believed, or he did believe, or he had, I think the better translation is he had believed to them. He didn't believe them. They were proved to be liars in the past, didn't they? He didn't believe them at all. So now they tell him that Joseph is alive and his heart grows cold. What are they up to now?
Well, was he ever afraid that his sons might kill him because they were so bad?
Those boys were bad. They were related to their uncle. That's all I can say. Laban was a rascal, wasn't he? Laban. Remember what Laban means?
Whitey.
Whitey. Mighty white of him, wasn't it? They used to say, boy. One guy told me one time, said, that's mighty white of you. And I said, well, I'm not very much white. That's all I could say. Why, Dokoru? And law. Et kal debri. Yosef. Asher. Deber. Alehem. Wayar. Et. Ha. I will get it right. Ha-agoloth. Asher, Shaluk, Yosef, Laseh, Oto, Watichi, Ruach, Yaakov, Abihim, 45:27. And they intensely kept on speaking words to him. That's all in this. How do I get that, Sharon? Intensely kept on speaking. Forcefully. Screamingly. Where does that come from? Third person masculine plural, what stem?
PL
stem. Thank you, young lady. Chris, you got it. A plus. And they kept on forcefully, intensely saying to him, third person masculine plural, PL, wow, consecutive, imperfect. To him. Sign of the direct object, we don't translate that at all, but we know the next one is the object. All right? All the bre. Call the bre. Call is all. Page 481. How about the bre? What is the root of the bre? What is the word root of it? Davar. Davar. Davar means what?
Line things up.
All right? In Greek, what would be the equivalent to this? Lego. All right? And all the words, all the things that he lined up, they kept on lining up words to him, to Joseph. Joseph means what?
To prosper and increase.
All right? Which, Asher, particle of relation, page 81. You can write particle of relation down there if you want to. Go right along here a little bit more. Dever Elohim. Elohim. Did I read all this already? I didn't read it, did I? When I go over there and do something, then I forgot what I did. Did I read all of it? All the way down? No. Okay. Elohim. That's on the second line, the last one to the left. Wayar, Et, Ha'agaloth, Asher, Shalak, Yosef, Laseth, Ota, Watichi, Ruah, Yaakov, Abihim. And he kept on speaking intensely and forcefully to him all the words, all the things that line up to Joseph, which he had spoken unto them. And he saw. Look at that word raw in there. See that word raw? And he saw and kept on seeing the wagons. There was a long royal wagon train, wasn't there? A long royal wagon train. They went out on donkeys and come back in a royal wagon train. In a royal wagon train. Which he had sent Joseph to bear, to hold up him. And she revived, and she lived. Look at this. When they told Jacob this, his heart grew cold and numb, like he was going to die, because he didn't trust the boys. But now when he sees the wagons, when he sees the royal wagon train, his heart begins to beat normally again. He goes back into rhythm. He went out of arrhythmia back into rhythm now. And she revived his spirit, his ruach. Say ruach. All right. What part of God went out and reconstructed the earth in Genesis, the first chapter and verse 2? Ruach Elohim, Spirit God. And I didn't say the Spirit of God, I said Spirit God. It doesn't say the Spirit of God, it says Spirit God. Now the Jews, they translate that in the, it's different. I'm telling you, these words, the way it's worded is much different. Okay? Now, in the Jewish Publication Society, it says a wind from God went out. A wind from God. It means Spirit God is what put the waters back in order and the earth back in order. And who was behind Spirit God? Jehovah God, the Son. Jacob. What does Jacob mean? To follow the heel, or to grab by the heel, Abraham, the father of them. That's in the possessive case. In Greek, it would be in the genitive case. All right, 45 and verse 28 now. 45 and verse 28. Wayomer. Yisrael. Rav. Od. Yosef. Bani. Chai. Elaka. We erenu. Bitarim Amuth. I lost my water. It hid from me. It hid from me. Yeah, too much chaw. Too much of this guttural stuff. And he kept on saying Israel. Why is his name Israel now? Why is it referring to Jacob as Israel? What did Israel mean? You remember that, Chris? Israel. Israel. What does Israel mean? What? It comes to the name Sarah, doesn't it? Sarah. What? It means one who wrestles with God. El is God. Israel. To wrestle with God. All right? Enough, much. Barav. Still continuing in a circle. Joseph, my son, Chaya, Chaya, say that, Chaya. Alive. I shall walk. First person construct singular cal, cohortive. All right, cohortive in meaning. I shall go, and I shall see him. First person construct singular cal cohortive in meaning suffix third person masculine singular. I, first person singular, shall see him, third person singular. Before, betarim, before I keep on dying. I want to tell you something. I have died two or three times in my life. I had to be shocked and revived. My heart's quit several different times. One time, I was taking medication, and the medication scrambled my heart impulses, and my heart went into complete arrhythmia, and they had to haul me to the hospital and shock me to get me going again. I had my neck broke a couple times, had a basal fracture and all this kind of stuff. At times, I know that I was gone. But the Lord didn't let me keep on being dead. I didn't keep on being dead. When your heart quits and it stays quit and you quit breathing, that's when you keep on being dead. You keep on being dead. I didn't keep on being dead yet. when I had all that mercury and arsenic in me, I was dying. My heart was in arrhythmia and everything else, and I was shaking up a storm. You notice that I haven't been quite shaking so much? I'm not poisoned so bad. My mercury level went down to 4. It is venous level anyway. I know there's more than that in my body, but at least in my bloodstream, it's not as much there. And the arsenic level is down to less than 2.
Better than tuna.
That's better than tuna or albacore. Before I keep on dying and stay dead. His heart skipped a few beats a while ago, remember? Well, before I keep on staying dead. 46 in verse number 1. We're down to the 46th chapter now of the book of beginnings. Barashit. The book of beginnings. Vayesu. Vayesa, I should say. Yisrael. We call Asher, Lo, Vayavo, Beera, Sheba, Vayizba, Zivakim, Li Elohi, Avi, Yichik. All right. And he pulled up tent stakes. That's what it literally said, right there. And he kept on pulling up tent stakes. And he kept on pulling up tent stakes. That's what this word means. I remember the first time, Brother Hubbard, when I was taking this in the Hebrew class in the book of Genesis, and it says, and he kept on pulling up tent stakes. He said, young man, remember that now. Remember what I told you. He said he kept on pulling up tent stakes. These people lived a nomadic life. And they kept on pulling up tent stakes, so that means they kept on moving. Out there in that sandy desert out there, you have to drive those tent stakes deep. And they kept on pulling up tent stakes, because these places are long drawn out. Third person, master, singular, cow, wow, consecutive, and perfect. They kept on pulling up tent stakes, Israel. Israel means what? The man who wrestles with God. All right? And all which with... We call, where is and call is all, which, particle of relation, to him. Why you who? Third person, masculine, singular, cow, wow, consecutive. All right. And he came, be'er. What does be'er mean? That's on page 92 in Brown Driving Briggs. What does be'er mean? It means a flowing spring or well. The air means well. The air. Boy, the beer, the green beer was flowing today in all the bars, wasn't it? On St. Patrick's Day.
Aaron Goprock.
And here was a guy. What was that, brother?
Aaron Goprock.
That's in Durban.
No, that's Irish.
Oh, is it Irish?
Ireland forever.
Oh, Ireland forever. Say that again real loud.
Aaron Goprock.
All right. Ireland forever. A well or a spring of Sheba. Sheba. What does Sheba mean? Sheba. That means oath. Oath. That's another word for oath. It means to swear and fence yourself in. The well of the oath. Be'er Sheba. And kept on slaughtering. Kept on slaughtering. Third person, masculine and singular, cow, wow, consecutive and perfect. He kept on slaughtering sacrifices. Slaughterings. He kept on slaughterings. Animals kept on dying here. He kept on slaughterings. He kept on making blood sacrifices, is what it is. A blood sacrifice. Something died. What did all of these animals that he slaughtered, what did they represent? What did they represent? Jesus shedding his blood for us. That's what they all represented. That the atonement is done by blood, an innocent animal. Those animals weren't guilty of anything, were they, that were being slaughtered. Was Jesus guilty of our sins? No, we are guilty of our sins, but he took our sins upon him, and his blood was spilled for us.
What were the rules about sacrifices at this time? Did they have any?
At a at a contract or at an oath, a barith or a shiva, where they made a contract or made an oath to each other, they killed an animal, and they would kill, actually they'd kill several animals, and they would divide them between, with on two pallets out there, or cloths, they would take these animals and put one half on one side and one half on the other side, and they would cook these animals, and they would sit there and make friends and eat until all the animals were gone, which maybe would take 2 or 3 days. They basically weren't supposed to keep cooked meat over 3 days, because they figured it was spoiled after that. But they would sit there for 2 or 3 days, and they would be friends, and they would eat and sleep together for 2 or 3 days. And that would, they would commune, they would fellowship for 3 days and make these oaths.
So wouldn't the journey take quite a while if they kept sacrificing? And
well, the different slaughterings that they made. Okay, and they were making slaughterings here. What he's doing here, what Jacob is doing here, is he's making atonement for these rats. His ratty kids. He's making atonement for all of them. He's atoning for them. He's sacrificing animals for them. And he's sitting there, and they're feasting, and they're putting, burning the sacrifices on the altars and everything here in this place. And he kept on slaughtering sacrifices, slaughterings, to the God. Li Elohi, to the God belonging to his father, Yitzchak. What does Yitzchak mean? Yitzchak. Let's get the word Yitzchak. Yitzchak. It means to laugh. What else?
Intense pleasure.
It can be sexual intercourse. It can mean kissing. It can mean all of the pleasurable things. That's what it means. Or laughter is a spontaneous pleasure, isn't it, when you laugh? See? You laugh. All right? Giggle. Girls like to giggle, don't they? All right? Giggling and laughing. All right. And that was Isaac's name. All right. 46 and verse 2. We'll go here and we'll quit after this one. Is that enough tonight, or would that, you want to turn you loose and go out and do something eternal like this? Wayomer Elohim Li Israel Bimoroth Halale. Halila is what I meant to say. I can't get my tongue to work right to that. Halila. Wayomer. Yaakov. Wayomer. Henini. And he kept on saying Elohim unto Israel. All right? He's using his name that God gave him. He's using the name. This is a God-given name. Okay? His father gave him the name Jacob, but God gave him the name Yisrael, which means one who wrestles with God. He said, you've wrestled with man, and you've wrestled with God, and what? You came out on top. In a hypnotic trance, in a dream, the Moroth, in a hypnotic vision. And when do you have these hypnotic dreams or visions? These episodes of hypnosis in the night. All right, in the night. Halayla. And he kept on saying, Jacob, Jacob. And he kept on saying, behold me. Behold me. And that's previews of coming chapters. That's where we're going to go next week. So we went from 45:22. 45:22 through 46 and verse 2 tonight. 45:22 to 46 and verse 2. I hope you learned something in God's Word tonight. And go out and think. That's what I want you to do. I want you to think. One of my teachers says, learn to think. It's a good trick if you can do it. And read and study everything in sight. Read and study. You can either use it for an illustration, or you can use it so you won't be somebody's pawn and fool. That's what I'm saying about it. Don't believe everything you hear. Double check it and trace it out. All right. Let's have a word of prayer. Go out and do something eternal. We had Sharon lead us in prayer. Could we have Sharon dismiss us in prayer tonight? Would you mind doing that, Sharon? We've missed you for 2 weeks, I think.
I know.
We've missed you. I was wondering if I was going to have to round you up and bring you back and lasso you.
Oh, Father, we just thank you for this opportunity we've had to learn your word and to learn how you dealt with people way back when, the good ones, the rascally ones, just all those people, very much like the people we know. And Lord, I just thank you for this opportunity. I thank you for everyone in this class, and I ask your blessings on all of us this week, that we may return next week and learn more. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much for being here. We sure miss you.
Oh, Jim, I have a question.
Yes.